This lecture on illness and health was held on the 24th of June 2013 in Reykjavik, Iceland. I gave two lectures in the House of Theosophical Society, the 20th and the 24th of June, and here you shall hear the second lecture. To me it was very historical, because Martinus gave his very first lecture in Iceland in this lecture hall in 1952. He was invited by the president of Theosophical Society called Greta Fels. And there is a historical photo from Martinus Centre-Clint in 1952 where Martinus is standing between Greta Fels and the world-famous author Paul Bunton.
Yes, tonight I would like to talk about health and healing, and I would also like to talk a little bit about the meaning of suffering. Martinus had cosmic consciousness. He had very strong powers to observe in the spiritual world. And he claims that he was able to observe that the cause to all illness, all sickness, is mistakes in your way of thinking. If you are thinking in a sick or abnormal way, your body will eventually become sick and abnormal. And if you are having very good and very positive thoughts, you will stay healthy. So Martinus is very convinced that the deciding factor for your health is the kind of your thoughts. Of course, you would say if a person is drinking alcohol and destroying his body through alcohol, you would say that was due to a physical substance that he became ill. Or if you are eating in a wrong way, you could become sick from eating in a wrong way. But you would then, anyway, you could ask, but why is this person drinking so much? And maybe this person is drinking so much because he is thinking in a wrong way. So, and Martinus thinks we live eternally. We have an eternal consciousness. And if you ask the scientists, they think that the consciousness can only exist together with a living body. As long as all the organs are working, the cells are working, there is something called consciousness. But when the physical body dies, that's the end. You're finished. But there are other people who claim that consciousness can exist independently of the physical body. I guess even in old Christianity they say when you die, the soul is withdrawing itself from the body. And there is also theosophic drawings how it looks like when the soul is getting out of the body. And when a woman gets pregnant, in a way, it is an already existing consciousness that is penetrating into the embryo. So, to understand this, you should understand that the consciousness is the master of the physical matter. It is using the physical matter. If you go to natural science, they think that originally there was a big bang, there was an explosion. So they think the universe have had a begin. And then someday by chance, life came around. Life was created by chance. So in their world, the physical matter is the most important. And it started with physical matter. And it was the physical matter that created the consciousness. And then you could ask, how did it create it? How did it come around? By chance. So that's the best explanation they can give. And I think that's a rather poor explanation. How was life created? Life was created by chance. And they also think we have a brain, but the brain is a physical organ. And it is the brain that creates the thoughts. It's the brain that creates consciousness. So they think the physical matter is the primary thing, and then that consciousness is a product. But Martino says, no, it's the other way around. The energies, the physical matter, is a tool for the consciousness. The consciousness is using the physical matter. The consciousness is using physical matter to create a body. And we have a physical world, so all energies is a tool for the consciousness. So, of course, there Martinus is very contradictory to natural science. But there are also many reports from near-death experiences. And sometimes the doctors say you are dead, and you are sort of brain dead. There is absolutely no function in the brain. And then they say you are clinically dead. Then it is impossible to experience anything. But these people, sometimes when they don't die but come back to the physical body, can explain that they saw the car accident from above, and they could see the doctors, they could see the policemen, the people who helped. Or they can see the room where they operated, they could see doctors, they could see nurses and so on. And they could explain what happened in the physical world while they were dead. And somebody is working very much with that kind in order to prove it is possible that the consciousness can have an existence independently of the physical body. And if I say, I now want to give an example. Now I can stretch my arm, I can bend it, I stretch, bend, stretch. This is an example that my consciousness is using the physical matter. So the physical matter is not the primary thing. The physical matter is just simply a tool for the consciousness. The consciousness is the most important. And then Martinus also thinks it is the consciousness that create all sickness, all illness, because you are thinking in a wrong way. But if you are thinking in the right way, you will stay healthy. And what is the right way to think? Then Martinus says that if you think in a loving way, you will stay healthy. And he also expresses this way, if you, in all situations, practice neighborly love, brotherly love, then you will stay healthy. But then the question is, who is my neighbor? And Martinus explains very simply that we are responsible for our own situation. We are responsible for our own fate. And we are also responsible for our own state of health. And are there ghosts in the house? There is a ghost in my house. And the other day I said I have given lecture in China, in Beijing, and there was 20 people who listened to the lecture. I've given lectures in Paris, in Germany, 20. There's always 20 to my lectures. So I'm very happy to see in Reykjavik now there are 30 attendants to my lecture. So I'm very pleased with that. Sometimes I'm giving lectures in small towns, there will be 20 persons, big towns, 20. But now there are 30 here in Reykjavik, and I'm very pleased about that. 31, 32. So, we are creating our own fate, our own situation, and we are all responsible for this situation. And actually, this is also a very healthy thought, to say, I am responsible for my own fate. But if you think, he is the cause to my problems, and he is the cause to my problems, and she is, then you feel, I am an innocent victim. The others are doing all the wrong things. It is the others. Then you feel as a martyr. I'm an innocent angel. I'm not making anything wrong, but all the others. then you don't take responsibility for your own situation. And it is very healthy. And it also very important in order to stay healthy to say, I am responsible for my own situation. Man, if I should answer the question, who is my neighbor? You talk in the church, in Christianity, you talk about neighborly love or brotherly love. But who is my neighbor? Who is my brother? Yes, of course, it's my fellow beings, all other human beings. And the way you are in interaction with other human beings, the way you treat other human beings is decisive for your fate. You are creating your own fate in relationship to other human beings. But Martinus goes one step further and says, the animals, that's also our neighbor, that's also our brother. So we should also treat the animals in a loving way. So that, which means that it is good to become a vegetarian, so you don't have to kill the animals. So you, Martinus explains, the animals feel it as an accident that they are killed. But then he says, according to the law of karma, you are not protected against accidents yourself. So if you are eating meat, you can become subject to an accident. So if you want protection against accidents, you should become a vegetarian. There are people, they are very kind to other people, and they are very kind to the animals, and they are vegetarians. But anyway, they are sick and depressed. And that is because they have overlooked the third important area. It's in our relationship to other human beings are important, our relationship to the animals is very important, but it's very important how we treat our organs. Martino thinks that all our organs are living beings, individually living beings, that the cells are living beings, that the molecules are living beings. And the atoms and electrons, and it continues in infinity. So it's also important to practice neighborly love to your microcosmos. The planet Earth, the solar system, that is macrocosmos. But microcosmos is my organs and my cells. And in order to stay in good health, you have also to treat your organs in a loving way. I heard about a man who was helping people to quit smoking. He helped them to stop to smoke. And he had a very special method. He said to his client, I want you to make an experiment. Here is two chairs. I want you to sit on one chair, and then we imagine that your lungs are sitting on the other chair. And then I want you to have a conversation with your lungs. Oh, what should we talk about? Well, you can talk about how it is to take a cigarette or whatever. You should just have a talk with your lungs, how the lungs, if that's a living being, how are you treating it? Sometimes people think that their children are their property. Or I guess some 100 years ago, 200 years ago, you said, the children has to obey. This is my children and they have to do as I say. So the parents didn't treat the children as really free individuals. It was sort of their property, and they could force them to do things. But nowadays, when people have become more humane, you start to treat your children in another way. They are also individuals. You have to be kind to your children. They have also their right to have their own life, which means the children are not your property. They are guests in your house, and you have to, of course, bring them up in a good way, but they are really individuals that has also their right to be treated as free individuals. But in the same way as in old times you thought the children is my property, you also think, yes, but my lungs is my property. I have the right to treat my lungs in whatever way I want because it's my property. But you could say you cannot treat children in what way you want because they are individual living beings. You have to be kind to the children. In the same way, your lungs is not yours in a way. It is also an independent living being. You have to treat your organs as a living being, and it is very good to start to think about your organs as living beings. And I've also heard about other therapists who really are trying to make people aware of that the organs are living beings. Maybe if you have problems in your stomach and you eat a lot of junk food and drink a lot of Coca-Cola or whatever, then you could also think, what is my organ saying to that? Is my organ happy about the food or not? And many people really change their habits when they start to think in that way, that my stomach is also a living being. I should treat my stomach just as you treat grown-ups in a kind way, in a nice way. You should treat children in a nice way, but also your organs. So that's very important, and I think it could be very good for many people who want to live more healthy to start thinking about the organs. How are they feeling now as I'm doing this? And of course, it's also very important for the cells, the way you are thinking. The most common error, the most common mistake in thinking, according to Martinus, is that you do not understand the law of karma. It is my wife. She is the cause to all my problems. Or it is my husband. He is drinking and he is alcoholic and he is using all the money. My husband is the... Or it is my older son or my younger son or my daughter. It's my parents. Or it's my boss on the job. It's my colleagues. No, it's the weather. It's the communists. It's the immigrants. It's always something wrong with the others. And you feel like an innocent angel. But why should I change myself? Because I'm not doing anything wrong. It's always the others that are doing something wrong. And Martin said it's so common because seen with physical eyes, it is the others who are the cause to your problems. If the doctor is amputating the wrong leg, that's a catastrophe. Then he's the cause of your life. If there is a car driver who's driving you down in an accident and he was drunk and then now you sit in a wheelchair, he is the cause. People cannot think in another way. Seen with physical eyes, the others are the cause of your problem. What can you do about it? Nothing. The rest of your life you can say, the doctor spoiled my life. The doctor spoiled my life. Or the car driver spoiled my life. The car driver, you cannot get out of it because happened is happened. Then you also sometimes, if you have a colleague or you have a husband or wife, you can say, stop doing that, stop doing that. And you can say to yourself, stop doing that. You shall do so and so, and you shall do so and so, and you shall do so and so. So then you try to solve the problem by changing the others. But I guess most people, they realize at the end, you cannot change the others. So, in a way, there's only one solution. You could change yourself, but why on earth would I change myself? I'm not doing anything wrong. But Martinus says that's the way to depression. You have negative thoughts. You're not happy about life. You are bitter. You are not satisfied. You're not pleased with life because you live life is a bad thing because there are so many people who is plaguing me. They're causing problems. And Martinus says then you are losing life power, life power. And you get very tired. And he's talking about unnatural fatigue. You get tired in an unnatural way. If you work hard, and then you become very tired. But there is a solution. You can just rest and sleep. And then you can get your energy back. Whenever you have become tired from physical reasons, it can be repaired. But if you feel as a martyr, you feel I'm a victim, I've done nothing wrong, then you can become very, very tired. And then you are going to bed to rest and sleep. And then you are sleeping 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, 11 hours, 12 hours, 13 hours, 14 hours. It doesn't help. There are people, they are sleeping, they are laying in bed 12, 14 hours per day, but they are still tired and depressed. And that is why the cause for the fatigue is in the consciousness. In order to get out of it, you have to change your own consciousness. And Martinus is talking about the law of cause and effect. Also, they do that in physics. So the law of cause and effect is quite simple. The energy you are sending out are coming back, which means that you create your own fate. And Martinus says, in a way, it is very simple to solve, not simple, but it's not simple to do it, but in a way, it's very simple to understand. You can solve the problem about unnatural fatigue just by realizing or by saying, I am the cause of my own fate. I am the cause of my own situation. But I've also realized when I look a lot on television. I've seen a lot of different programs. And I have noticed that there are many people who are doctors, therapists, but they are atheists and materialists. They don't believe in spiritual world, they don't believe in karma and reincarnation and so on, but they can treat people and they can help them. And I have noticed that many of the modern therapists start with saying, you have to accept that the situation is what it is. Maybe a man has lost a leg. The first thing, you have to accept that you have lost your leg. Or if you have had another disease, an operation, it went wrong. The first thing, you have to accept that the situation is what it is. So, and of course, that is like I'm saying, it is very important to accept that the situation is what it is. So I think it's interesting to see, even if you have a materialistic point of view, you can reach at the point where you can understand it's important to accept the situation. But then you do not get any explanation. Why should I, or am I responsible? He or she is responsible. But they want to start the therapy by a starting point. That is, you have to accept your husband is an alcoholic, or your wife is so and so, and you also here in Iceland, you ruined, you have lost your money. Yes, but that's the banks, and that's, and you have a lot of arguing. But sometimes you just have to accept the situation is as it is. But you can get a theoretical explanation from Martinus that everything is fate. You create your own situation. You are responsible yourself. And as soon as you stop blaming others, as soon as you stop blaming others, stop criticizing others, stop being angry and annoyed with others, because that is, then you're losing energy and then you are on the road to become tired. Martinus is talking about you can be infected by virus or bacteria. And in a way, he says the cause that you are infected is that you are low in life force. If you are not satisfied with life, you are annoyed, you are criticizing others, then you are losing in life force. One day, Martin says, what is life force? If you are happy for the existence, you can say, I am glad that I exist. I am happy for life. Then you automatically have life force. And it is, of course, very important when it's about your health that you have life force and you want to experience life. You are curious. You are happy about life. And this can only come from that if you are pleased with life, you are satisfied with life, and you are grateful for life. But then, of course, from a physical point of view, from a materialistic, why on earth should I be satisfied and pleased with life? Look here, I have this problem, sit problem. And every time when I've solved a problem, a new problem is arriving. And then I've solved that problem and a new problem. It's only problems. Why on earth should I be grateful? And they are, in a way, thinking in a logical way, but Martinus is explaining also the meaning of the sufferings. Because every time we have made an experience, we have developed, and if you have felt some pain, you can imagine what another person feels when this person is in the same situation as you have been in. This means that when you have suffered, have problems, have had pains, it is an experience that is stored. And when you see another person in these conditions, you can feel with them. You feel with them. It is compassion. This means that the fruit of sufferings and problems are love and compassion. And that is very important to understand. It's never wasted. And the most valuable experiences is experiences of pain and suffering and problems. And once, Martinus was a little bit humoristic. There was a woman who asked me, Martinus, what can I do in order to become more highly developed? And Martinus said, go out in the world and make a lot of mistakes. Because when you make a mistake, it gives bad consequences. But when you've had the bad consequences, you know, oh, this is wrong. Then you have developed. It sounds strange, but in a way, every mistake is very valuable. It's good to make mistakes because you learn from your mistakes. And that is the fruit of the sufferings. This means that there is a purpose with the sufferings. And there is a very simple law, the law of protection. If you protect others, you are protected yourself. If you don't protect others, you are not protected. And if you can beat up other people, you can criticize them, you are not protected. So this also means, in a way, you don't have to be afraid of life. You get the protection that you give others. Then, in your consciousness, there are some primitive sides, there are some unfinished sides, but then you have to say, maybe I have some unfinished sides, but how should I improve it? Only by experiencing the consequences of the primitive sides. So it sounds strange, but if you are very ill, you have a lot of pain, you say, oh Lord, thank you for the pain, thank you for the problems. I'm very happy that now I'm becoming more humane, I'm getting more compassion. And I know this problem is caused by myself. I cannot blame anyone for this problem. But I'm very happy for the problem and the pain. Because now I'm developing. I'm on my road to perfection. I am on the road to become a Christ being. So, in a way, it's very good to be grateful for all pleasant things. If the sun is shining, in a way, it's very good to express it. I am happy. I am grateful because the sun is shining today. Martinus really recommended people at the end of the day, before going to bed, think about what happened during the day. Oh, thank you because I had a nice dinner. Thank you because I had a nice car drive. Thank you because I met some nice people. Thank you. It's good. Thank you because I could eat some healthy food, or thank you for this and this. It is good to say thank you for all positive experiences. But the culmination is when you also can be grateful for your problems. This leads to mental sovereignty. You can have problems and diseases, and then you say, oh, thank you. I know I'm the cause myself, and I am only having this experience in order to learn what I did not know before. If you make a lot of mistakes, you get the consequences, then you won't make this mistake anymore, or these mistakes. Then you are making new mistakes, and then you get new bad consequences. Oh, that's nice. But at the end, eventually you will not make any mistakes. So it is very possible, and very valuable, it's very important. And for that reason, you can also, at the end of every day, say, thank you for all the sufferings, thank you for all the problems, because the effect is so blissful, it is so good that we advance in the evolution. And this can really make positive thoughts. And this is the way to health, that you are happy for unpleasant things, you are happy for pleasant things, and then you can create a perfect health. I'd just like to mention that Martinus, he has drawn 100 symbols, and Martinus has published some symbol books, as he called them, but the official name is The Eternal World Picture. And up until now, 4 volumes has been published. The Eternal World Picture, 1, 2, 3, 4. And they have also been translated into English. And I know volume 1 and 2 is translated into Icelandic, and you can also buy them here after the lecture. But Martinus had only written explanation to 44 symbols, and then he passed away. But there were many lectures that were taped, they were recorded. And in these lectures, he explained the symbols. So last year, 2012, at the Martinus Institute, we could publish a new symbol book. Symbol book number 5, The Eternal World Picture, volume 5. And there are 33 symbols in this book, and they are all about the same. And that is health and sickness in the light of Martinus cosmology. So it's a very interesting book, The Eternal World Picture, volume 5. And I would like to show a few of the symbols from this book. There are 33 symbols, so I cannot explain all of them. And Martinus has drawn a symbol number 45. Martinus has explained the mechanism, how consciousness can have an influence on the body. Martinus thinks like the professors in physics. Matter is built up by particles and empty space. Particles and empty space. And if you take an atom, the atom is built up by neutrons, protons and electrons. But most of an atom is empty space. And if you go into these smaller particles, most of it is empty space. All physical matter is built up by particles and empty space. And there is most empty space. Natural science says physical matter is particles and empty space. But Martinus says, no, it's not empty space. There is consciousness in the empty space. So, in a way, it is particles and consciousness. There is an invisible consciousness between the particles. And Martinus has also written an article. I don't know if it is translated into Icelandic, but there is also some books with Martinus lectures in Icelandic, but it's about particles, empty space, and thought power. We live in a universe where particles are moving. We live in a world of vibrations and movements. The whole physical world, or for that case also the spiritual world, is vibrations, it's movements all over. But it is the consciousness that creates all movements. Now I can move my arm, it's my consciousness that is creating. So that's what Martinus says. Something dead cannot be the cause of a movement. Can you explain how should something dead and moveless be the cause of a movement? That's impossible. It's always. And the physical matter is not the primary thing. Primarily, the consciousness uses the physical matter. And then Martinus says, if we could see our own body, we think it's massive, but most of our body is empty space. And also, you would learn that in atomic physics, most of the body is empty space. And Martinus explains, physical matter is built up in the same way in microcosmos, in mesocosmos, and in macrocosmos. We can, when we look on the sky, we can see there is stars and empty space. And we know very, very well in the universe, only a very, very little part is particles. The rest is empty space. But when you look on the sky, you cannot see that it is living. But Martinus is convinced the solar system is a living being. The galaxy is a living being. Clusters of galaxies is a living being. The whole universe is a living being. So Martinus is very convinced when we are looking at the sky in the night, we are looking into the organism of a living being. Maybe we are in the lungs of a living being. Maybe we are in the finger of a... We don't know. But Martinus is very sure that we are looking into some... If you could imagine you were an electron in your arm or in your leg, how would it look like? Just like our... You would see atoms that were light, and maybe you could see some electrons, but most of it would be empty space. But with the help of atomic physics, you can also understand when you go down into your own microcosmos, it is the same principles. It particles and empty space. Our body is particles and empty space. But we know that my organs and cells are living. So from microcosmos, we can learn that these particles and empty space is living. And from the universe, you can see with your own eyes, you can see the particles and empty space. And Martinus says, all these small particles in our body is influenced by our thoughts. But Martinus is not only talking about microcosmos. He is also talking about super microcosmos. So he's below us, we have organs, cells, and atoms and molecules. That is microcosmos. But if you go further down, you can go into a little particle, and then that's particles and empty space. And then you can go into a new particle, and that's particle. So you can go very, very far down in microcosmos. And he even says, Martinus, that just like we here have a physical world and a spiritual world, our thoughts, there are also thoughts that are purely spiritual, but there are also physical thoughts. Some of our thoughts have a physical body, but it is so super microscopic. So we think that is spiritual because it is so little. But very, very, very far down in super microcosmos, there is a connection between the particles and our consciousness. Our consciousness is influencing these small particles. And then these particles, if they are controlled in the proper manner, we are healthy. But if we have wrong thoughts, the particles go into a wrong area. There can be collisions between stars, or there can also be collisions between planets. You can see on the surface of Mars and the Moon that have been many collisions between stones in the universe. And Martinus says that is, in a way, the principle of illness. If you cannot control your thoughts, you cannot control your particles in microcosmos, they get into wrong areas and cause collisions. And that is illness. Once Martinus showed a slide, it was two galaxies that were colliding. Two colliding galaxies. And he says, this is macrocosmic disease. Macrocosmic disease, because that caused a lot of problems for the living beings in these Milky Ways. And this collision is macrocosmic sickness, illness, which means you have to control the particles. For example, now you can say our solar system is healthy. The planet Earth is turning around, Mars and Venus and Jupiter and Saturnus and so on. They're not colliding with each other. That's a sign of good health. But if there is some disorder, they will collide and kill all life. That is an illness. But Martinus says it is not only particles and empty space. There is consciousness in the empty space. And Martinus has drawn another symbol, number 46. There is not so much time to go into detail, but I would just like to say that Martinus, in his cosmology, is working with six basic energies. And these energies are instinct, energy, and it is some kind of explosive, expanding energy, the energy of gravity. And it is the energy of feeling, energy of intelligence, energy of intuition, and energy of memory. It's quite a study. I am a chemist from the Technical University. And I was so happy when I saw Martinus has written two volumes of Livesbo, volume two and volume four, three, two and three, has the title Cosmic Chemistry. And Martinus said, in a way, he has created a fate science. He has described the energies that we can use in our consciousness. And in order to find out how life works, we should, if you want to synthesize a certain product in the laboratory, you have to know the nature of your chemicals. But if you want to construct a happy life, you should also know the chemistry of the energies that you're using in your consciousness. And that is what Martinus has made. He has described the nature of all these energies, and he has described the consequences of different kind of disorders. I will just very shortly say, of course, the energy of intelligence is penetrating the brain. It is overshaded by the energy of intelligence. And the region with heart and lungs and the whole blood system is overshaded or penetrated by the energy of feeling. You know, a lot of feelings are expressed with breath or heartbeat. It is very influenced by the feeling. Here in the stomach, the whole digestive system is overshaded or penetrated by the energy of gravity. På dansk, tyngdeenergien eller eksplosionsenergien. It is the dynamic force behind every movement in the whole universe. There is some kind of this explosive energy because there is a dynamic force behind every movement. So this is, in English they call it the energy of gravity. This is the translation of tyngdeenergien. What's that in Icelandic? Thank you. And this explosive energy is needed in the digestion. Because we eat food, and it has to be cut down in smaller. We start to chew the food, but then it has to be cut down and down in smaller pieces. Otherwise, it cannot enter. It has to pass the cells in the intestine, and then it has to cut down the molecules in very small pieces in order to absorb them in the organism. For that reason, you have to have some kind of explosive energy to destroy the food. If you have too little of this energy, you cannot really digest your food you become. But if you have too much of this explosive energy, you become aggressive. And then you can also become sick for that. It is with all these energies, they have to be in the right amount. Sunshine is nice, but if you are in Africa, in Sahara, there is too much sunshine. Or if you are on the North Pole, it's too little sunshine. And in Iceland, it's almost also too little sunshine. But I've had some nice days with sunshine. But you have to have the right amount of sunshine. And it is in the same way with all these energies. You have to have the right amount of explosive energy. You have to have so much that you can digest your food. If too little, you get ill, and too much, you also get ill. And here is the energy of intuition. This is the highest energy in the universe. It's also the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. That is intuition. But in the animal kingdom, we don't have cosmic consciousness. But the most delicate cells, that is the sexual organs, the sexual cells. You can experience a very big joy through the sexual release. And Martinus says, of course, materialists, atheists, they're not aware of it. But this joy you can have in the sexual release actually is a physical experience of God's spirit. Maybe it sounds a little bit strange, but Martinus thinks that sexuality is very divine. And for animals, they're living in a world where the law of the jungle, we are fighting each other. It's very hard. We're living in a very tough world. There must be some light in the world. And in the animal kingdom, the light is that you can fall in love with a partner and you can have these couples and you can enjoy the sexual feelings, you can enjoy the sexual release. It gives a lot of inspiration. People are using hours and hours fantasizing about meeting the ideal partner. Isn't it so? Haven't you had many fantasies, thoughts and wishes? Oh, I would love to meet the perfect partner. It's very important. And Martinus explained it's quite natural that it is so important because actually it is an experience of the Spirit of God. So to Martinus, the sexuality is not something sinful or something bad. In a way, sexuality is very, very divine. But in the animal kingdom, you have very little intuition. It is so reduced, you only can experience it through the sexual organs. But nowadays, very highly developed and humane people, they start to have more and more intuition. There are many artists, scientists, inventors that have some intuition. And for that reason, they can create wonderful things. In two lectures, I've heard Martinus mention Einstein and Niels Bohr. They were so ingenious in atomic physics. And he said, they have given mankind so much because they had so much intuition. They had a little partial cosmic consciousness because they had that intuition. So in the future, we will also have some intuition that is day conscious, brain conscious. And now it's not placed on the right. Martinus has, he is the energy that rules over the skeleton, over the minerals, over the bones. And it's a little bit strange, but it's the energy of memory. Also in the mineral kingdom, there is some kind of memory. I don't have the time to go into details with that. And this is the energy of instinct. Instinct take care of all automatic functions. And it is penetrating in skin and muscles. But we could try and take the next symbol. Should we take 65? So, if you have too much gravity energy, if you have too much of this explosive energy, you can get very furious, very angry, and you shout and the smallest things, you get very angry. Sort of in your mentality, you are explosive. You have too much explosive energy. This energy should be here in the region of stomach. But now you can see this region of the lungs and heart ought to be yellow. But now some orange energy has entered the blood system, the heart. So this can cause diseases within the lungs and the heart. And Martinus has not written about the cause of all individual illnesses, but he has written about many heart diseases is caused by aggression. You have anger, you have aggression, you are explosive. And also very often when you get inflammation in the lungs and so on, it can because this explosive energy should be kept in the digestive system. But if it goes outside the digestive system, it goes into a wrong area. And that is just like when planets collide, stars or whatever, galaxies are colliding. This causes catastrophes. So here, on the same symbol, on one single symbol, he has shown a lot of diseases. He said one is enough to kill a man. But that is the explanation he mentioned very often. And I know personally a few people who really have some heart diseases, and I can easily see they are very aggressive, they are very explosive. But then also, if a child is born with a heart disease, some small children sometimes get a heart operation. They are born with heart problems. But that could be because they have been too angry in previous lives. If a child is born with an illness, the cause is in the previous lives. So you are always responsible for your own situation. And then there is another situation. Here it should be orange in the digestive system. But now some yellow energy has penetrated here in this area. And the yellow energy is the energy of feeling. That means you have not been able to control your feelings. It could be that you are very nervous, you are very stressed. If you have a job and you have been promoted, and you are a boss, you are a leader, and then you're nervous. Can I manage this job? And you get nervous. And maybe after 2 years, you get a stomach ache. maybe you get an ulcer or you get some problems with your intestine. But Martinus says, every illness has two stages. The first stage is the cause of the illness. And the second stage is the effect or the symptoms. Which means, if you have been very stressed throughout 2 years, that is the cause. Anyway, the first time you started to get stressed, you got ill, but you feel nothing. But this is the cause, and if you are thinking in the wrong way for 2 years in a row, maybe that can create a symptom. Ah, now it hurts in the stomach. But then in a way it's too late, because now you're ill. So there is the cause and the symptom. And you could say it's bad with the symptoms. But seen from the positive sides, if you are acting in a wrong way and you had no unpleasant experiences, if you were acting in a wrong way and everything went very well, why should you change? There's no reason to change. Whenever you make a mistake, there is a good cause, there is a good effect. Of course, life is constructed in such a way, whenever you make a mistake, there is an unpleasant effect. And that saves us in a way. That will save us. Because when you have made a mistake, you get a symptom. Then it is an alarm clock. Or the red light is turned on because you can see I'm living in a wrong way. So in that way, it is good that we can have symptoms. It's good that we can have bad effects. Because otherwise, we would never stop to make mistakes. Otherwise, we would never stop to behaving in a wrong way. So, sometime when you are here in Iceland, you are looking down from from the mountains and so on. Sometimes there is such a barrier, so you cannot fall down. It's protecting you for falling down in the abysm. So, in a way, also, the symptoms, the illness is protecting you for not falling down into the catastrophe. It stops you, and then you have a chance to stop to do the wrong thing. Martinus has also here shown that in the sexual area, it should be blue all over. Now some green energy has entered into the sexual area. Normally, the sexual life should go by itself. It's quite natural. It should be more or less instinctive. It should go automatically. But some people they are divorced and they take drugs and they make experiments and they live a very strange life and it can lead to they are starting to do some very strange sexual experiments. And then they can get a little bit derailed and then they are thinking, they sadomasochism, should I beat another person, should I threaten, should I do it with small children or should I force violence, should I do it with dead people, with animals, I don't know what, I don't know anything about that, but some people are starting to have perverted thoughts. They are thinking about, what should I do, should I do it in public, should I do it so and so, they get so many strange thoughts, and that is not good. Martinus says when you he calls it, get into sexual speculations. Sexual speculation. You can get many strange ideas. And when you have had these strange ideas, someday you start to practice them. And it can also become a bad habit, a vice. It's not called a vice, yeah, a bad habit. So sometimes it's difficult to stop drinking coffee. If you're drinking coffee, it's a mild narcotic. If you are drinking alcohol, smoking cigarettes, if it get a habit, a bad habit, it get a vice, it can be very difficult to get out of it. And in the same way, you can also get some sexual habits. Sometimes you might want to stop, but you can't. And it can start with these sexual speculations. And in a way, it can also, this wrong mixture of intelligence and intuition also could make you mentally ill. So, and these speculations and sexual derailments can also lead to diseases in the sexual organs. You can maybe have some forms of cancers or some. And that you can also, there are many children. I get it's about 5% of the children that are born today. It's difficult to see, is that a boy, is that a girl, is it a big clitoris, or is it a little penis, or the testicles are still here in the womb, they are not going down, is it ovaries, or is it testicles, and there's many chromosomic diseases, and it's very often very difficult to see, and many of these people, they will never get children, they cannot get children. But if you are born with defect sexual organs, there is also a cause for that. And that can also have been some strange sexual experiments in previous lives. It could have been perverted and so on. Yeah, maybe we should go on to the next one. This is symbol number 66. And the title is The Perfect Human Being. The human being with perfect thoughts. This is the orange color, the explosive energy in the digestive organs, the feeling in lung and heart, the intelligence in the brain, intuition with the sexual organs, instinct with muscles and skin and the bone and skeleton with the energy of memory. There is also another interesting detail of this symbol. You see, here are two poles. And Martinus says, all living beings are double poled. They have two poles. But in the animal kingdom, one of the poles are latent. So that means in the male beings, the masculine pole is connected to the sexual organs. It's dominating. But the female pole is latent. And in the women, the female pole is connected to her sexual organs, but the masculine pole is latent. It's more or less absent. For that reason, there are two sexes. And to me, this is the biggest surprise in the whole cosmology of Martinus. This is, there have been two sexes. There have been men and women. And there are men and women. But in the future, there will be no men and women. We will have a new sex. A third sex is emerging. A third sex is coming around, and that is the double pole sex. And Martino thinks that at least the consciousness of Jesus was double poled. Jesus was not chasing women. He was not especially fond of women. He was the same sympathetic to men and women. His consciousness was double poled. But on this planet Earth, we have such primitive organisms. We have only two types of organisms, male and female organisms. But the organisms of human beings are changing. Men are coming more like women, and women are coming more like men. And many women, they are too narrow, the hips, and so it's too narrow. She cannot give birth to a child. You have to take the baby with an operation. So there has been some anatomically changes in the anatomy of women. So, and I think we can observe that in so many places in everyday life, women are becoming more like men, and men are becoming more like women. We've seen that the last 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, maybe 1,000 years, we can see there is a lesser and lesser difference between male beings and female beings. And according to Martinus, the explanation is that the female pole is growing in the man and the masculine pole is growing in the woman. And at the end, the two poles will be in balance. Then they are balanced. And Martinus says that these two poles will grow together. This is the nerves that are growing together. It's not physical nerves that Martinus talks about. There are some spiritual nerves growing down from the brain and up from the sexual organs. And when these spiritual nerves are meeting each other, you get double poled. Then you are not man or woman anymore. Then you are day conscious, which means the biggest surprise for the men is that there is a woman inside them, and the big surprise for the woman, there is a man inside them. They have both qualities. The perfect human being has both qualities. And actually, we are some poor people. Our happiness depends on the opposite sex. I'm only happy if I have a partner, and if I don't have a partner, I'm unhappy. That is not sovereignty. I'm dependent. So in the whole animal kingdom and terrestrial man, your happiness depends. I have to possess an individual of the opposite sex. But if you have the opposite sex in yourself, you don't need to possess others. You are total free. You are sovereign. And that's the future. Then you can love all human beings in the same way as you loved your partner before. So we are, our love capacity is expanding. In the beginning, we could only love one person of the opposite sex, but at the end, you can love all human beings, irrespective, and you are not dependent. You don't have to possess, you don't have to be married, you are totally free. So you can love all. So this is very fantastic. And Matthäus also explains, when the two poles are growing together, you get cosmic consciousness. Then you are initiated. Then you have the big revelation, and then you can experience the spiritual world just as well as the physical world. The time is running away. There is also a question period afterwards. The idea is that it is important what you are thinking, and sometimes you might not know what is the specific cause of my illness. You don't really know it. But in general, the answer is you have to practice love to human beings, to animals, to your microcosmos. And if you are happy, you are grateful, you are pleased, you are satisfied, that gives you the most perfect health. But as soon as you think, there is something that is wrong in life, I am not satisfied with that, I'm not pleased with that, that's wrong, that's unjust. And whenever you have these thoughts, then you are on the road to a sickness. So in a way, Martinus even says that true Christianity leads to health. And with true Christianity, he means when you practice neighborly love to human beings, to animals, and to your microcosmos, then you will become very healthy. Thank you for your attention.